Hello everyone! After a long hiatus, Team Road to Revamp is back with another season of this podcast series. My name is Sagar and I, along with Abhishek, present to you the third season of the podcast, Road to Revamp. In our current episode, we are going to talk to Nidhi Mohan Kamal. She is an accomplished entrepreneur, an expert in nutrition and body shaping, and a major Instagram influencer who is changing the way we perceive diet and fitness. This is indeed an in-depth conversation about modern methods of body shaping, her adaptation to veganism, and her urge to change the world for the better. Let's dive into the thoughts and wisdom of Nidhi.
Welcome to Road to Revamp, Nidhi. I'm your host, Abhishek, and I'm really fortunate to have you on my podcast. Though Nidhsen and Nidhi Mohan Kamal are a very well-known figure, okay? But still, for the sake of our listeners, please give us a brief introduction, who you are and what you do.
First of all, thank you so much for having me here. And I don't know how well known Nidhsen or Nidhi Mohan Kamal are. They are two yet very similar identities. Nidhi Mohan Kamal is a part of Nidhsen, which is a bigger group. It's a company that was, me and my brother started. Mm-hmm. So Nid comes from my name and Sunny is where Sun comes from. And this is basically a brand that we started, which talks about everything in the wellness space. So mm-hmm. we deal with people who are trying to lose weight. We deal with people who are trying to shape up. This has stuff which is in clinic. We have 3 clinics as of now. And there are in clinic procedures. There are online trainings. And yeah, Nidhi Mohan Kamal is a little tiny part of that whole identity.
Pretty modest.
No, yeah. I'm not. I'm still 50% of the identity if you talk about it technically. Mm-hmm. I'm basically a food scientist. I am a nutritionist and I'm also a certified trainer. And that's mostly it.
Yeah, just it. So how do you manage all of these roles and how do you, justify your role as a trainer, as a healthcare provider, and as a nutritionist?
As I said a couple of minutes ago, basically I don't have a life. So work is life. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really very hard to be in all these roles. Firstly, because I think nutrition and fitness kind of goes hand in hand. So I don't know how people actually isolate these two, because one without the other doesn't work. So I think instead of calling it nutrition and fitness, I rather call it like a lifestyle. And also, if you really love what you do, I think you never work a day in your life. And that's technically what my life is. Even if you give me a 10-day holiday, by the end of the third day, I'll be frustrated and I'll be wanting to come back to work, because this is literally now who I am.
So life is equal to work.
Yeah. And it's equal to love also. Oh, wow.
Twisted. Yeah. So can you please explain our listeners about body shaping procedures, and which is your personal favorite and the most successful one?
Okay, that's like saying which one of your fingers is your favorite. Yeah. So they all are, but they have different roles to play. So basically, when we say body shaping, it means there are two things. One is you're trying to lose weight, and the other thing is when you're trying to shape up. There's a huge difference in them, and yet they sound very similar. When I'm trying to lose weight, assuming like I'm X many kgs, I might have a target to lose 10 kgs, and that usually will be a health thing. Right? You will not do it for your aesthetics. Of course, we'll do it for your aesthetics, but that's usually to do with somewhere your health being affected by your weight. But on the other side, you have body shaping, wherein you could be in a weight which is higher than what it should be. You could be in a normal body weight category, but yet you would want to shape up on a particular area. For 90% of the people, usually around the abdomen is where the problem is, right? You could be completely in a normal BMI. Your fat percentage could be okay. you know, medically, so to speak, but you might not be very happy with, you know, the little bulge you have on your tummy. So what do you do in that case? Now, you know that doing 1,000 crunches cannot give you abs.
Right.
Even cool sculpting will not give you abs, but it will at least give you a flat stomach. So that's what body shaping is about. So how can you go about it? One option is, of course, you go for surgical procedures. We have liposuction. We have so many types of liposuction happening now. But then there are a lot of people who don't want to go under the knife, who don't want something even with a local anesthesia. So completely non-invasive, if you're looking at everything you do in that space where you're doing completely non-invasive body shaping and sometimes skin correction, that's where Nitsan comes in. So if you talk about procedures that we have, my personal favorite and the hot selling one is, of course, fat freezing, which is also called cryolipolysis or cool sculpting. So they basically, this is a procedure where you physically freeze the fat pocket. And yeah, it's not like, you know, you come out and you see a change, but over a period of about a month to 45 days, you see a considerable change in the amount of fat in that particular fat pocket. This is very, very specific fat pocket related procedure. It's not a weight loss procedure, but it gives you the shaping that you've been looking for. Might give you some weight loss, might not give you any weight loss, but it'll shape you up in a particular area. So that's why this is like hugely popular. Anyone planning a holiday or getting married or has a wedding where they want to look amazing, they would come in like 2 to 3 months in advance, get a procedure done. And usually one procedure down the line, you see about 2-3 inches, which is huge.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a little expensive, but yeah, that's the most hot selling one. And of course, then you have people who are looking at weight loss as well as, shaping up on a particular area. For them, we usually recommend things like ultrasound because it does help you lose weight. You can target a bigger area. And a lot of women come back after they've had a baby. And then we were dealing with two things, not just shaping up on a particular area, but you're dealing with saggy skin and, you know, skin correction as well. That's where we choose radiofrequency and laser.
Okay.
So that's everything about shaping up.
Can we go slightly into the science of cryolipolysis? Because like you said, it freezes the fat cells. So those fat cells, or we can call them adipose tissues, they just go out?
Okay, so the concept of how fat is stored in our body is manipulated a lot by the false advertising, so I would want to call it. Because you see these sauna belts and you see all these fancy ass gadgets which are sold on the TV. They always show you a concept that, you know, you do this and this is melting the fat.
Right.
So the thing is, the concept we have in our brain is that, oh, this fat inside our body is something like, you know, it's a solid state thing which is sitting inside. So if I go take steam or have hot water or all those, you know, things, some people say green tea will melt fat.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of melting fat is like wrong. You can't melt it because it's a cell. You know, adipose tissue is built up of cells and there is fatty acid or fat is stored inside of the cell.
Right.
So there is very little you can do to damage the cell, right? And definitely you cannot do it by massaging it, breaking it or heating it up.
Yeah.
So all of that is like complete BS that's sold to you because that legit does not happen. There are a couple of ways where you can, destroy the cell wall.
Right.
Unless you destroy the cell wall and the fat from inside the cell comes out into your bloodstream, you technically cannot lose fat from a particular area.
Okay.
And all these non-shaping body, non-surgical body shaping is about the whole concept of taking out the fat from inside a cell out to the bloodstream. And that's what even fat freezing does. So how fat freezing works is, I'll give you a very simple example. Every one of us has accidentally at some point in time has frozen every one of us has accidentally frozen a fruit or a vegetable, right? And hypothetically, let me assume that you've frozen apple, right? You freeze an apple it gets frozen, you take it out, it looks exactly how it looked when you had put it inside.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, when it thaws, it physically looks different.
Yes.
Because the cells are not the same thing as they were when they went inside freezing.
Right.
So what happens here is something that happens to the apple is exactly what will happen to your fat as well.
Okay.
So when you go into the procedure, you go in and you come out, it looks and feels exactly the same. But what happened during the procedure is that some of your fat cells, because fat is going to freeze much before water does, so your skin is going to be intact, but some of your fat cells would freeze. Now when you come out, you know, you're exactly the same size you were when you went inside.
Mm-hmm.
But now some of your cells are frozen and they're going to thaw. When they're going to thaw, in that process there's going to be physical damage to the fat cell.
Right.
And during that time, there's going to be a release of the fat which is now was inside the cell is now outside into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, oh, this is going to come out of your, you know, your excretory system. You're going to flush it out as toxins, drink loads of water. No, that's not exactly what happens. What happens is now that fatty acid is in your bloodstream. Now, if you want to have weight loss, what you need to do is calorie deficit that needs to be created,
yeah,
especially in terms of fat. So if you do that along with something like fat freezing, the end result is you've lost fat, burnt it as energy over a period of time, and removed those cells to have a body which has lesser fat cells in a particular area. So that's what happens.
And I think high intensity interval training,
mm-hmm,
can also help in processing that,
yes,
fat in,
of course, any form
bloodstream
of exercise if you're doing along with the whole process would be beneficial. And in fact, when we talk about fat freezing, we generally tell people that this is not for somebody who has a sedentary lifestyle and is not willing to make changes in their lifestyle. This is for someone who's already fit but wants to lose on a particular area.
Okay.
So this is technically something which is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You're not happy with that 1 inch, 2 inch of fat on a particular area.
Yeah.
It bothers you and you want to get rid of it. You've tried everything, doesn't work. Come to Nitsin, get it frozen, this is going to happen.
Yeah, because I've seen people have lost a lot of weight from every part of their body, but like especially for ladies, they have the face is not getting rid of.
Yeah.
So they are like, I'm still chubby.
Yeah, face, we can't do a lot of face. School sculpting is not very ideal to do because though it doesn't have any side effects, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
but during the process, because you use a vacuum to kind of suck in the fat pocket, you can get bruising from it. And
okay,
face is not a place where you want,
right,
to get bruised. So we generally don't do it on the face. But that's the only side effect or that's the only down point to the whole procedure is that you can get a bruise. And that goes away in 10 days. But yeah, for 10 days, you might end up looking, you know, funny.
So for face, you have other options.
Face, we do radio frequency, which is,
yeah,
much safer. You can do it near the eye and, you,
yeah,
know, it's completely safe.
So this body shaping,
mm-hmm,
or this fat freezing thing works for subcutaneous,
yes,
fat,
yes,
mostly.
Yeah.
And visceral fat,
mm-hmm,
like scientists say, this is the dangerous,
yep,
fat, and it creates a lot of inflammation and a lot of responsible for a lot of disease.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you approach visceral fat? How do you, how we can actually get rid of that dangerous fat between our organs?
See, that's what I said in the beginning. We deal with everything to do with lifestyle.
Yeah.
Of course, that cannot happen unless you do a very, very guided program. And I don't want to say a diet program, because,
yeah,
when you say diet, then you automatically, the image is bad food to eat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's complete. There's a lifestyle change that has to be associated with it. And fat, be it, you know, or mental or subcutaneous, is, it will not go unless you create a negative. And unless
energy
you
deficit.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that math needs to be done properly. According to the person's need, according to their lifestyle, according to their, you know, metabolism, pattern,
yeah,
disease. So yeah, when somebody walks in and they are overweight or they have a higher fat percentage, how we typically approach it, we map their history, we see how their lifestyle is, we understand their activity levels,
right,
and then we recommend anything. So it's not like That's why if you ask me what's the cost of the procedure, I can't tell you. Because this is a highly customized program which will vary for everyone. What combination, I might not just give you a fat freezing. I might tell you that, okay, fat freezing might be an option for you 2 months down the line. But we need to go on a 6-week diet program first. Yeah. Let's get your weight down to X amount. And then maybe we need to do some bit of ultrasound. And then when you're finally stuck with something, then you can come in and take a cryo. So that's, I mean, just one example. There are literally like hundreds of combinations of what we can do. Depending on where you are with your health right now and what you're aiming at, there needs to be a roadmap developed for you.
So you're not trying to sell a product.
No.
I've realized from your thoughts that it's a holistic process. Yeah. It's not, you know, that people say you will lose 5 kg in a certain time.
The sad part about the weight loss industry is people, you open up, you know, the newspaper and you see 10 kgs in X many rupees.
Right.
And literally, I'm not kidding you, literally people have walked up to me and said, oh, so, you know, they would make a calculation and say, oh, your program is 1800 rupees per kg. Do you know that thing is giving 500 rupees per kg? So we don't sell by the kg. And there are a lot of times people would come and say, oh, I need to lose 20 kgs. I'm giving you 6 months. Tell me how much money do you want? And usually our answer is, I'm sorry, just take your money back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would need first initially, and whenever anyone joins, we don't commit more than 6 weeks of a program to them because it's a learning process. Each person is different. Their body is different. We need some time to understand how you work. And from there on, we can take it. So, you know, typically 6 weeks is a minimum time you need to do any change with your lifestyle.
You're dealing with the robots.
Yeah.
You cannot just change the battery and something will change instantly.
See, we're not dealing with something that's made on an assembly line. So don't expect the results to come from an assembly line.
How can someone ask 500 rupees per kg?
Yeah, that's... No, but I've been asked that question.
Even in the gyms, you can come and they say, okay, your programs, CrossFit programs, or this program, that were amazing. But tell me how many kilos I'm losing a month.
Yeah.
And my answer is, I don't know.
Yeah, this is my answer also. Usually, I cannot give you a ballpark figure. I usually give people an estimate. Okay, this is going to be between 3 to 4 kgs. That's what I look at it.
Yeah.
But I generally tell people to have a target of a kilo, achieve it, and then let's see how quickly you did that kilo, and then we'll figure out the next. And again, you know, after a while, you might lose your first 5 kgs very quickly. The next 5 will be very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's human body you're dealing with. Every day the dynamics will change.
And the progress is different for different people. Like as a thyroid patient, for me, getting up in the morning and without having my coffee, if I can start my day, that is a huge success for me.
Yeah.
Because most of the time I get up like, oh my God, I don't want to get out of the bed.
Yeah.
So that's progress for me. But I think the definition of progress and success in fitness and weight loss industry is highly biased and highly tormented, tortured way to say things.
See, that's what, as I said earlier, you know, we didn't come from an assembly line. Every individual, and the human body is so diverse and so dynamic, beautifully, that, you know, one enzyme less or more in one person changes your metabolism so much.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not a simple... oversimplification of things when we say what you put in is what you get out.
Yeah.
Literally, that's oversimplification. There are thousands of biochemical reactions going on inside each human being.
Yes.
And our genetics, our diet, our health determines so much that, you know, I think no computer on earth can do the permutation combination of all that can go wrong in a human body. So it's way more complex than you think it is. And even if you're working with the best expert in the world, they would need a lot of time and a lot of data to understand your body. And by the time I would understand your body, or anyone would understand your body, it would change.
Yeah.
It's far more complicated than the Facebook and Instagram programming.
Yeah, here coaches easily say, okay, you come to me, 5 kgs in a month. How can you say this?
Yeah.
This is absurd.
Yeah.
So, we are reaching to the next question. and that is very close to my heart. I always ask this question. Mm-hmm. What is health and fitness for you? And do you think both of these are different? Like I feel health is very different than fitness. I just want your perspective on this.
I don't know what your understanding on it is, yeah. But yeah, to me also health and fitness is very, very different.
Yeah.
Being healthy is not just a physical thing. There is a whole aspect of your mind,
mm-hmm.
in when you talk about health. I could be physically fit, you know, and physical fitness, by the way, also is not something you can ballpark and say, oh, this is fit. Like there are people who are cardiovascular fit, there are people who are endurance fit. Somebody who can lift 120 kgs in a deadlift might not be able to run 5k,
yeah.
And somebody who is running 5k might not be able to do that. So and both of them are fit, by the way. So there isn't a single definition. So when you say fit, you have to define fit in what perspective.
Right.
But when you talk about health, it is much more.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people who are called, so to speak, fitness. Let me not even get to the point where I talk about those bodybuilding competitions where everyone's calling it fitness. But in the true sense, it's not. You know, being healthy is... Fitness is one very small part of being the whole healthy bit. Healthy is when everything is in harmony.
Right.
Right? Not just my physical body, but my brain and everything is... I'm waking up, how I'm sleeping, how I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
how I think about myself. I think I would call all of that into health.
Right.
And, you know, when we look at fitness and we see these... We go to Instagram and we see these perfect bodies and these six-pack abs and, you know, these females who are ripped and the men who are ripped and their body fat percentages are wild. We're talking about less than 10. Any competitive female athlete on stage is around 10% body fat. And we know that, you know, women don't get their cycle below 16. I don't get it below 16. I don't know about others, but below 15, I think most women don't. So my question is that even healthy? You're calling it fitness, but is that even healthy? Like you're not a completely functioning human female and then you're tagging it as healthy. So aesthetics might not be healthy and somebody who's actually very healthy. I mean, you look at yogis.
Yeah.
I don't have to go anywhere else. You look at yogis. They are capable of doing things which are not imaginable, not just with their bodies, but with their mind.
Right.
Yeah. When they do samadhi, it's impossible. They can lower their heartbeats. They can... which is, by the way, it's an involuntary function.
Yeah.
But they have control over it.
Yes.
So I would rather call that healthy. And they don't look the part.
Yes.
They don't have bulging muscles. They don't have six packs. They don't look the part. But they're completely healthy. And they're at peace. And when you have a conversation with them, they calm you down. That's a soul that calms the other soul down. So I think fitness is a really small part of the whole health. It's much bigger than what we see. It's what you feel, what you are. It's how in line you are with nature, which again, we don't do. We stay in this concrete jungle. We're breathing this, God knows what. But yeah, when you're really, you know, in line with who you are, you're connected to the earth, you're connected to nature. That's what I call healthy.
It's a very enlightening answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really, I was expecting something like this.
Okay.
I get very different answers from very different people.
Okay, but sure, that was predictable.
Because what I can see through social media, you talk about holistic health and you're not focusing more on one aspect. That is the next thing I'm going to ask. Is you never say strength is the most important thing. You do yoga also, you do meditation, and this is the thing, this yin and yang you try to balance. So how do you put this concept in your clients' programs?
Firstly, I am trying to balance. I haven't found the balance yet, yoga is one thing that that when you look at it, it's another thing. When you do it, it's another.
Yeah.
I think finding a peace with your body is not an easy thing. and it lets you go and offer a lot of things which are your, you know, your inner issues. I tell everyone to do it. I don't push anything on anyone. If somebody walks up to me and says, I want to do, you know, strength training, I'll be like, yeah, go ahead. If they want to do yoga, I'll be like, go ahead. What I like about strength training is that it gives you good results faster. If you haven't done anything in your life ever, any physical activity, it's a good place to start. It will give you results. It will, resistance training is good. It's for good for your weight loss. It'll get you in the mode. Mm-hmm. But once you are in line with at least your body, you're aware of your body, and then you start yoga, and then you realize how ignorant you've been.
Yeah.
So that's like the next stage. But I usually, if you've seen my workouts, if you downloaded Puma Track, yeah, you'll see that I have workouts which start at strength, go to running, end in yoga. So, I mean, I like that mix. It works for me. I think it works for everyone else. And, you know, you're touching each part of your body. You're not skipping out in strength. You're not skipping out in endurance. You're not skipping out in flexibility. And you're not skipping out in mind.
Right.
So, you know, that, to me, that's mind, body and soul. If I can combine in one as a package, it's a good deal to me.
It's really, really important, because strength training is just like another stressor.
And it's a little aggressive.
Yeah, it is aggressive. and our life in these days is still very aggressive. On a traffic light,
ooh, you can... don't talk about any traffic.
Yes. So you are getting almost same stressors in the gym which you are getting at your workplace at the traffic light. And how are you balancing that stress?
Yeah.
That matters. And here comes this advice, very handy, that some meditation, some
at least
yoga.
One thing in your whole day should be de-stressing.
Yes. Let's come to some of the questions I got, some females.
Wow.
Related with PCOD.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a lot of hard work and still they are unable to get the desired results. So how to proceed, or how to help a person who's suffering with PCOD?
It's a very hot topic, and it's a little bit of a concern as well, because I've been practicing, you know, lifestyle changing, people looking at patients for now 9 years. So that means literally thousands have come and gone. 9 years ago, I started seeing a trend, which was, you know, school-going girls suddenly missing out their periods and having PCOD. 9 years ago, the numbers were... out of 100, I would probably see 5 or 6. It's grown to a point that out of 100 now it's 70-80% PCOS, yes, and rest of them normal. Any girl who walks up to our clinic these days and is like, I think 80% has PCOS, which is an alarming number, and you know, not all of us are not talking about it. It's the factors, when you talk about, you research it, you'll find that there are no clear reasons why this is happening. But I think it's mostly to do with what we're eating.
Okay.
See, food is what fuels you. If there's anything wrong with you, the first thing you should look at is, where is the food going wrong? Because that's a mistake that you'll be making day in, day out basis. Mm-hmm. And in PCOS, I think the food is one of the biggest reasons why everyone is having the problem. We have become so dependent on processed food.
Mm.
Processed food and the processed food industry has also taken another stage. You know, anything is sold healthy when it's really not. You add healthy to a product, it'll sell double.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to be like extra careful with what you're eating. Again, somebody who has this problem is going to be frustrated, because you know, your metabolisms are slow.
Yeah.
And each individual that I've treated or worked with has had so much, you know, you can't treat them the same way.
Yes.
Every PCOS patient also comes with a different problem. You know, some of them have insulin related issues.
Yeah.
Some of them have, you know, cycle related issues. Some of them have psychological issues. So dealing with them is individually also very different. But the alarming thing is the number of girls who are getting it.
Yeah.
And it's become such a norm. Also, I find a very huge contributor to this is what is wrong with milk.
Yes.
I personally think it is, though I haven't come across a study which has proved it right, but I think milk is doing the worst because, you know, you're injecting hormones
right
to get the production right, and they end up somewhere in your bodies.
I think even these beauty products,
mm-hmm.
they're also containing a lot of hormones.
Yeah.
And they can, I mean, they could be another reason.
Yeah. Self-medication also is an issue.
Yes.
Over-the-counter drugs, which are also an issue. Nutraceuticals are also a big issue. So, yeah, because we are in such a race to be healthy that we want to buy every product which says it's healthy. And maybe we don't need it. And we've completely forgotten our basics. Now we're living on a diet and a lifestyle which is a mess. Which is a pharmaceutical blend sold to you in a healthy package.
So first thing they can do to avoid as much packaged food they can.
Somebody who has PCOS?
Yes.
The first thing you need to do is get moving.
Okay.
5 days a week you should be working out. It could be anything. To start with a walk to begin with.
Okay.
Second thing is anything that comes in a packet doesn't go inside your mouth.
Yeah.
That's a thumb rule. If you can switch, if you could do these two things, you'll see a drastic change in your, you know, PCOS performance, minus all the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's, and then it comes to food.
Yeah. If you have a problem and you're not losing weight, rather than listening to everyone and Googling plans, it's good to go to someone
who knows it.
Who knows what they're doing and just take professional help. It's much needed. You know, you'll waste much less of your energy and, you know, time and money if you, you know, you get on the right track from the very beginning.
Next is Hashimoto thyroiditis.
Mm-hmm.
I am facing that
mm-hmm.
for a long time, and I want your input on that how to actually approach it
mm-hmm.
from a workout perspective,
mm-hmm.
from diet and lifestyle, and how can we actually not just cure it, but at least make ourselves worthwhile
yes.
for the world, because at times
yes.
I get up and I feel terrible. Most,
yes.
not for the time, for some time, but most of the mornings
yeah.
I cannot go
yeah,
without
terrible.
A cup of
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah. Again, you know, this is one of also like a lifestyle disease. And
mm-hmm.
again, we don't really know the cause of it. This is on the rise, and so is other, you know, diseases which are either related to thyroid or not. But, you know, metabolic disorders mean that you're going to have a hard time losing weight than
yes.
everyone else. That's a, you know, that's a pill you need to take or you just swallow, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But having said that, if you have a disciplined life, it's going to be much more easier.
Yeah.
Again, even if it's a hormonal disorder, as natural as you can go with your diet, and not just claiming natural, like really natural, right? As natural as you can go with your diet, as consistent as you can go with your lifestyle.
Yeah.
These are two keys to, like, you know, taking it forward. You might see a little bit of difference in your performance and someone else's who doesn't have the same issue. But in the long run, you can match up to that person but with loads and loads of discipline. And it's, again, it's a lifestyle change. You have to live with it. But you can live with it to the fullest.
Right.
With loads of discipline. And it's not, see, I have migraine,
okay.
which is technically not that big of a problem. Unless I have a migraine attack in the middle of something.
Right.
And I have had it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I've skipped my final exam once because I just couldn't stand and I couldn't do it. And again, migraine has no cure. It has no solid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
What I had to do is find out a list of things that I can do or not do to improve my situation better. And the only solution to migraine is you sleep on time, you eat on time, you eat good, you sleep good. That's it. So basically, if I screw up my lifestyle, I'm gone.
Yeah.
The same thing. It's you know, it's like devils come in different clothes, but they're devils end of the day. So somebody has a thyroid, somebody has a PCOS, somebody has a migraine. You all can sit down with yourself, family, and somebody who's like a nutritionist or a doctor and figure out things which work for you and things which don't work for you. And from then on, and that's it, that nutrition is the doctor's job is done. From then on, it's your job to put up that effort day in, day out to get your life together.
And I think, in a way, they're making you more regimented and they're making you more disciplined.
Yeah, I look at it as a positive thing. Yeah. If I didn't have migraine, I would have been a lazy ass. I would never wake up. Now, I don't need an alarm clock.
Yeah.
My body knows when to get up. My body knows when to sleep. Okay, there are times. I'm not saying it is 100% right. There are times when I'm out with friends and I've not come back home. But still, I give myself an hour or two of margin.
Mm-hmm.
But I allow my body to have that kind of discipline. So, yeah, I mean, all of us will go through things. We'll go through life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you have something like that, it's I think you're special.
Yes. Now I'm feeling special.
Because you have a chance to make it better.
Yes. You cannot...
You respect your body more.
Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot drink overnight and, you know, it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
Because I feel like crap for the next 2 days if I do that.
See, you're special.
So, next thing is gut health. People are crazy about gut health these days, and pre and probiotic supplements are on every shelf.
Yeah.
And what do you think? It's actually getting that worse that people are suffering from gut issues, or it is created by supplement industry?
I think it's both the things. People are getting a lot of digestive issues because we are having so much of processed food.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that colon cancer is on a rise and everything's on a rise. Why? Because when you have food which is like natural and it's got all that bulk and fiber in it, and then you have foods which are like processed and the fiber is taken out because you want to taste. Now the travel time of natural versus the travel time of processed food from your gut is going to vary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you say consume fiber, you know, it's good for your gut. So now these days we're consuming a lot of processed food, which stays in the gut for longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, yeah, gut health is a very, very real issue. And the probiotics is another thing I want to talk about. See, our natural diet, and because I'm an Indian, I'm going to talk about Indian diet. See, our natural Indian diet had a lot of prebiotics and probiotics built in, which over time we have removed.
Okay.
So, we're going to talk about probiotics. Every day we make a curd at home.
Yes. You know,
all right? We have a habit of consuming buttermilk, which is again fermented, loads of good bacteria in it. If you're North Indian, you would have had kanji at some point.
Yes.
We have it every day. It's again, kanji has got loads of prebiotics in it. Banana has got it's a prebiotic, right? So we have a lot of probiotics and prebiotics built in our diet.
And pickles.
Yeah, of course, pickles, of course, have got. So yeah, I mean, our diet technically has everything. But now, we have more gut issues because we have so much of processed food.
Yeah.
And to solve those gut issues, we have so much of processed probiotics being shoved onto us.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, consume it because you need it. So probiotics are definitely, I can't deny the fact that they're good, but I think in regular diet has loads of it. If you go back to your roots a little bit, you'll find the answer.
Yes. So, like in your previous podcast and in your post, I see that you are a huge proponent of locally grown food.
Yeah.
Why is it so? Like, everything is being modernized.
Yeah.
We adopt every kind of workout culture. All the Western diet, lifestyle, or technological advancement, but when it comes to food, why you suggest locally grown food?
Even in terms of workout, I'm pretty local when I'm saying do yoga.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, Kung Fu also came from us.
Yeah,
it's a form of Indian martial arts, twisted, yes. And it's something else. Why I say food is that even in yoga, we say that what kind of food you should be having every day is if you can walk the distance of from where your food is coming from, that's the circumference from where your food should be coming from. Reason behind it is that your minerals, your, you know, what your deficiencies are, they're going to be balanced if you take that.
Okay.
And if you take food which is not local, like everyone's, not that I hate quinoa, I do love it. You know, kale and quinoa, you see somebody sitting in another country having it and you assume that it's going to be good for you. No doubt that it has health benefits for that specific region. So I'm going to complete it that way. So if we are here, like giving you a very simple example, India is a hot country.
Right.
And in summers, we have this habit of having sattu.
Yes.
Right? It cools us down.
Yeah.
Why do I need to have an aerated drink? Because that thing is produced locally. Because it works for the person staying in that region.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like huge on this have local food, because A, you're getting fresh produce.
Yeah.
B, it's not going to be, you know, cold storage stuff. You are assured that, okay, this is in season, this is... And even with season, you see, whatever we need in a particular season is automatically there. So I don't know why we scratch our brains and get these fancy ingredients. We just don't have to use our brain much.
I think we don't, as a human being, we don't like simplicity. We like complex answers. Yeah.
And with smartphones, we're getting complicated by the day. So... Yeah,
because knowledge and information is on our fingertips, and we are overburdened with that,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, yes. It is information overload.
Let's come to this vegan aspect of your life. Why did you choose to be a vegan?
See, I tried to have non-vegetarian, just did not go down my throat because if I tell you the story, you laugh. There was one point in my life when somebody had forced me to have a piece of chicken. And when I slept at night, I just couldn't stop thinking about the chicken. You know, you know, chicken's brother, mother, what are they thinking? You know, I killed somebody. So, of course, that's a very big aspect that I didn't like killing somebody for my food. And then over years, I realized how bad milk industry is also. Like it's literally not meant for humans. You're actually stealing a baby's food and calling it your health drink.
Right.
Oh no, actually not calling it a health drink, you're calling it a necessity.
Right.
The enzymes required to digest milk completely go away from your body once you're 10 years old. So technically you don't need milk, but then this whole dairy industry has convinced you that, you know, a glass of milk is required.
But in even yogic text, milk, cow's milk, has been like elixir of life. They're mentioned.
Yeah, let me complete that sentence for you. But then when you say that, it's considered to be elixir of life, but the animal is kept like another member of the family.
Okay,
it's kept
okay.
like a human. It's given respect. You pray to the cow. Right?
Yeah.
You go inside a temple and you see Nandi Bell and you,
yes.
you know, you touch their feet. But that respect is gone. It was considered to be, you know, a celebration.
Yeah.
Right? Having milk was a celebration. You will, okay, things have gone, something huge has happened, and now you want to celebrate, and you will probably have a little bit of milk, but you will give respect to the animal, you will give respect to the calf, and, you know, it was a celebration. It was never necessity.
Yeah.
So, there are two different things. Now, and I would say milk was vegan back then.
Okay.
But milk is not vegan anymore. Now your milk comes from a cow who is tortured and kept in the worst conditions, you know, injected stuff so that you can you can get more milk. It's not even milk, I call it pus.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's not the same thing. See, it's not that where you're sourcing it from. The whole aspect of how the animal is raised also is a question. So milk is considered, even in you know, in our ancient text, milk was considered to be, you know, sattvic.
Yes.
But I believe that now milk is more tamasic than anything else because it comes from a tortured animal. Even if you read the sattvic texts of it, it says it, you know, milk coming from an animal which is kept with love.
Yeah.
But it's not the case anymore. So I think, I mean, it just gave me a huge motivation to kind of give up
milk. It's a very deep explanation. I'm impressed. And we should think that way. So do you think these organic farms, the people who say they're selling A2 milk, they are close to that ancient idea? Or they are again sellers?
Yeah, they're the sellers. It's marketing. At end of the day, it's marketing. Even if you're saying you're keeping... when we used to have Satvik milk, every family, every household had a few, you know, it had cattle of their own.
Right.
So we can never go back to that because A, we don't have that space, we don't have the time, we don't have the energy, we don't have the same kind of families. So call it anything, none of the milk coming from anywhere in the world is completely Satvik. If it's available to you in a bottle, I'm sorry you did not respect the animal enough.
Yes. Look, I've seen these vegan people. They are deficient in many minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in micronutrients. We were discussing about creatine and carnitine, we can say.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin B12.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you ensure for your vegan clients that mm-hmm. they get all these things? Because you are, again, you are not so supportive towards supplements.
Yeah.
So how do you...
unless somebody really has a deficiency, yeah, I don't push it. When we talk, most common deficiencies are D3 and vitamin B12.
Yeah.
I have never had it. So I don't know how my body manages it. But I think if you give enough variety to your food, it shouldn't be a problem. And as far as D3 and calcium is concerned, it's a problem with everyone. It's not vegan specific.
Okay.
So, you know, we're not exposed to sun. We don't go out. We don't bother to do it. We stay in air conditioning. We put so much of sunblock, which is not required. I mean, we're darker skinned anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Had we not had melanin, I would worry about it. Yeah. But we have loads.
Right.
So I don't mind getting a few shades darker, but, you know, let my body breathe. So again, you know, we have conditioned our life to so much of artificial stuff.
Right.
That's the real cause of it. It's not veganism causing the problem. I think the problem is everything to do with what you eat and how you behave and how you're living your life. Just go a little closer to nature. I don't think you should.
The thing is, I'm a non-vegetarian.
Mm.
I'm getting some of those things through my food.
Mm.
But vegans are unable to get it.
Again, depends on your goals.
Yes.
See, if you are trying to build muscle and you want to get bigger,
yes,
then having that kind of animal protein with, you know, all those, you know, minerals or, you know, whatever you're looking at will be a problem for you. Here, also try and understand that you are trying to do something which is outside of your basic nature.
Yes.
We're talking about hypertrophy,
mm-hmm,
which is anyways a conditioned thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you stay within you being a natural human being,
mm-hmm,
you'll be okay. If you're trying to do something that's a little superhuman, that's where you'll have all these deficiencies coming in. I think if you're trying to be in that space, being in harmony with your body, being in line with, you know, who you are and what you want, you know, what all you're capable of. I'm not discouraging people to push themselves, but a lot of sport, including weightlifting, including CrossFit, including yoga, not yoga, including, you know, acrobatics, you're actually pushing your human limits.
Right.
So when you're already operating on that edge where you're trying to push the human limit, and then you're saying, oh, animal based food does better. Yeah, because you're pushing your limits.
Okay.
If you were, you know, within the limits of what a normal human being can, you'd be slower. I will not say you can't do it. You'd be a little slower than everyone.
Okay.
And if you talk about, you know, the greatest people on earth who've done like great stuff, you know, you talk about Maharana Pratap. He was vegetarian.
No.
He was.
No.
He wasn't?
He was a meat eater.
Okay, but I can give you a lot of examples of people.
There are people in, because I'm also, I also belong to this Rajput community,
oh,
and all of my family members are vegetarian except me. And
no, but then that's still okay. You, let's not go to human beings because I'm confused between who was and who wasn't.
No, they,
but even if you talk about animals,
yeah.
the two animals you use for their strength,
yeah,
the two animals you use for strength is horse and elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Completely vegans,
yeah.
Right? No meat eaters at all. Can you? Yeah, I mean, that just gives you an example. Our
yeah,
horses
could be a long debate.
Yeah, this is a long debate. Yeah. But
yes,
I don't think
I
plant-based diet...
There are very strong
yeah, if
plant-based powerlifters,
yeah,
crossfitters.
Yeah.
I've seen many of them.
It's hard. Definitely it is.
It's
much
harder.
Yes. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, who you want to be. Another thing I don't like about vegans, I'm sorry to say that, but I don't like about the vegan community is like vegan communities become terrorists.
Yeah, that was the very next thing.
Oh.
I mean, we just started. Like, vegan community has become the most hostile community.
Yeah, they don't have to be that aggressive about it. It's not vegan Taliban we're talking
yeah.
about. You know, they should be... See, it's a choice that I have made. I would want to justify that choice. And I would... But there's a difference between being a person and imposing the same on you.
Yeah, because being vegan means being compassionate.
Yeah, and if you are pushing it to someone, and if you're calling people names because of their
yes.
choice of the food that they're eating, it completely defeats the purpose of being a vegan.
Yeah.
And you know, vegan is another fancy name to a lifestyle.
Yeah, this documentary
right.
on Netflix, What the Hell? They just
I watched all of yours.
They just did a terrible job in twisting the facts.
Yeah.
And I'm not against veganism at all. It's a personal choice.
Yeah, it's a personal choice.
Yeah,
it's again, there have been times when I have put a product,
mm-hmm.
I posted about some hair thing, a shampoo
mm-hmm.
or something, and somebody's like, "Oh, did they stop doing that? It's not vegan." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna be more conscious about it from the next time, but don't call out names like that." And somebody, I posted, usually don't. You know, post anything, but there was one time I posted a picture and it had like a little logo of my car, and somebody replied back and saying, "The car you drive is not vegan."
Oh my god.
The air
we breathe is not vegan. So.
Yeah, so I mean, this is my, this is a little bit of a concern that I have with the vegan population is that don't become that harsh.
Because one of the doctors they interviewed for that documentary, he went up to the level that he said that sugar doesn't cause diabetes and fat causes diabetes. Like, how can you say that?
Yeah, there's a whole keto community also.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with like
yeah.
too much fat is not good.
Yeah.
But how can you say that too much sugar is not causing the diabetes? I don't need a research for that. I can see
yeah.
that my whole family, and I posted that comment on his YouTube video, that my whole family is vegetarian. Four of my family members have acute diabetes, except me. And I'm a meat eater.
Yeah. This is nothing to do with,
So everybody is having their agenda.
Of course, there's something called as biomagnification,
yes.
which means the higher you go up in the food chain, everything, be it toxins, be it pesticides,
yeah.
be it heavy minerals, lead, everything is concentrated. So if you're having a vegetarian vis-a-vis a non-vegetarian, you're having much more pesticide than a meat eater, which is biomagnification, which is the science. It's even if there wasn't a science, you can do the math. So you know that's there, but again, it's your personal choice. What you
first
want
time
to have.
I'm meeting a true vegan.
Okay.
I guess because there is a saying in CrossFit community: if you are a CrossFitter
mm-hmm.
and a vegan.
Yeah,
then it's a dangerous
yeah,
combination.
A, in a party, if somebody's a pilot, a CrossFitter, or a vegan, everyone will laugh.
Everyone, and they'll tell them. Oh,
yeah.
See.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is not good. This is not vegan.
Okay, I'll try to wrap up as fast as I can because it's almost time. This is one other question which I asked for most of my guests that. We are getting better healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
We are having more gyms. We have more knowledge about nutrition, health, and everything on the planet. And still, chronic diseases are rising. Diabetes and hormonal issues are rising.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no answer for that. I don't see we are growing as a species, we are not growing up. The evolution is going in the reverse direction.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a topic that's very close to my heart. Yeah. And again, some bit of it has to do with turning vegan. The thing is, no matter how hard we try, we will never get rid of this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound cynical, but I'm going to be pragmatic at the same time. The thing is, the human species is a part of the whole ecosystem.
Right.
We were never supposed to be 7. Whatever billion we are right now.
Yes.
And there lies my answer. Hmm. To support that much of a single species comes at a cost.
Right.
We have to give food to all of them. You need water, not just for drinking, you need for your basic necessities as well. We're running out of space, we're running out of resources, we're definitely running out of food.
Especially in a country like India.
But no, it's just not India. We, thankfully, are very rich in terms of our resources, so we're not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation 15 years down the line is going to be much worse. The biggest crisis in the next 15 years is going to be just food and water. And I don't see government talking about it. I don't see any activists talking about it. But the real problem is the fact that we are so much in number.
Yeah.
That we have destroyed everything in our way just to get our ways right. And to a corporation, to a government, it doesn't matter how mm-hmm. much we're growing. And I've taken the topic completely off health, but it's kind of related, so one needs to understand. The government, the corporations want to push more numbers.
Yeah.
They're happy. They're getting more votes from higher population. Corporations want to sell more clothes, they want to sell more buildings, they want to sell more houses. But where are you getting the resources from? Now, we've known this from decades that, petroleum-based products is going to be a problem and we will not have. How many hybrid cars do you see on the road? None.
Right.
How many battery-operated, solar-operated projects do you see? None. A hybrid car like Prius, which is so common in every country in the world, is sold in India mm-hmm. at an excise duty of 108%. It's double of what we pay internationally. Yeah. So I don't see the government, the so-called people who we put in charge of taking care of us, doing anything towards it. And I think it's everyone's responsibility to think about it. I mean, I see... The only worry, this is very funny to say, but the only worry Indian parents have is like, when will you have kids? How many kids will you have? My question is, if I have a child tomorrow, what's the child going to breathe, eat, and do? With so many around us, the quality of life deteriorating by the year.
Yes.
It's a real serious question that we need to ask. Do we need so many humans?
Yeah.
You cannot have a good life. And this is the reason why all these diseases are coming up. Because... the food doesn't come with quality. Now it's mass production.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, GMO food, GMO food. You will not have space to produce non-GMO so much.
Yeah.
So the real question is, how are we dealing with the number? Nobody cannot have a good life.
I don't think any government is going to have this audacity to stop this population.
Well, some countries have... But I think we've done this too late.
We are not doing anything.
No, India is not doing anything.
Yeah.
There should be literally a tax on a second and a third child.
Yeah.
There should be. I mean, as mean as I sound, but it's our responsibility to control this. And we will have so many mouths to feed. How are we going to do that? No one's even talking about
it. It's impossible without non-GMO.
Organic food is, we were talking quality of life.
Yeah.
But how can, with a limited planet, with a limited land, with a limited resource, everyone cannot have the quality of life. So I think next 15 years, just surviving is going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am not wanting to sound so horribly negative, but I am very negative about it.
You're very realistic about it, I think.
But no one wants to accept. Whenever I have this discussion with everyone, they're like, we're good. This was said 50 years ago. No, just open up your eyes. The change is much faster.
Yes.
It's much faster than we anticipated. All the carbon inside Earth we push to our atmosphere. And Delhi has it every Diwali.
Yeah.
We... you know, 2 years in a row, we've seen it getting bad to us. Have we done anything about it? No. We just got air filters. Air purifier, right?
We give ridiculous religious sentiments.
No.
And
it's nothing but population. Yeah. It's nothing but population. You know, we see it bursting in numbers. You know, we're bursting. You can't. Making roads is not the solution. Getting metros is not the solution. The solution is get down the numbers. No one talks about it. We can't talk about quality of life with this many number of people. Because another fact is that you said the lifestyle diseases are on a rise. Yeah. The average life expectancy of humans in the 1940s and 50s was much less than what it is.
Yeah.
35 people used to die.
Yeah.
Getting married at 21, making babies, so that by the time you see the teenagers, you know, you die. There would be war. There would be plague. There would be infection. We've learned how to, you know, cure all of that.
Yeah.
We're not fighting anymore because war these days is just Facebook petitions.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's going to be no war. I mean, you know that. Everyone's, now the world is at peace as it could have been. Right? So the thing is, there's no balance. You there's no infection because we've learned how to fight that. Somewhere, nature is going to find balance. Right?
I think that's why nature has given us Trump.
just
a funny observation.
Yeah, but then the thing is, there's nothing to control our numbers anymore, and we are growing. So we do. If anyone's a science background, we do that petri dish experiment, where we put a culture in a petri dish, and you see how much it can grow, and there's a growth curve to that. So they grow exponentially to a point where there's no more food left for them, and then, you know, and then boom.
They've exhausted their ecosystem completely.
Yeah, and then there's zero.
Yeah.
So then the petri dish becomes sterile after a while. And that's what my biggest worry is. I think we've reached the peak.
Yeah. Very soon we will.
Very soon we've reached the peak. Yeah.
Now, my last question. And that is about online training. There are so many trainers who want to grow themselves as online trainers. And they want to reach to more people. And you have done an excellent job in this regard.
Trying.
Would you like to share your success secret in this regard? How we can actually reach to more people? And at least not like you, but at least we can come close to you.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm there yet. But again, this is a field where I think how... It doesn't change much whether you're doing something online or offline. The only thing is, if I'm training somebody one-on-one, it's going to be very personalized, and I would know exactly which muscle is, you know, weaker than the other, which here becomes completely like a communication thing between back and forth between me and the client. But generally speaking, it's end of the day, it's how you deal with the person. You made a commitment and, you know, you live by it, because somebody... The other person's physically sitting thousands of kilometers away from you. How do you find them to motivate? Be motivated enough to just give you a feedback is also sometimes a challenge. So, but I think whether the person's sitting in front of me or I have to call them up and wake them up every morning saying, get up, get your ass to the park, I'm waiting for you. Or somebody's sitting, you know, in a different time zone where I have to give a call to them. I think both the cases, it boils down to what is the bond between me and the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think online or offline makes much of a difference. It's end of the day, who you are as an individual and how you deal with another human. And of course, it is a lot to do with the individual, how much faith they have in you, how much they're willing to commit and go for it.
So it takes time to build that faith, that trust, and... it's not an overnight process.
No, like, nothing in life is an overnight process, isn't
it? Because I see trainers coming up, they just do some certifications, they have no experience under their belt, and they think, let's go online.
Yeah.
I think...
It's not just trainers, it's anyone who's had it. Now, the trend is universal. It's like anyone who's had a transformation is selling a program.
Yeah.
Which is very scary. That worked for one will not work for another.
So
you need to have a lot of people who go through you, and you need to experience all those, and then, you know, then
celebrities are selling their training programs. Like, if someone have done something, so now they know what is the gist of human life, and they have the panacea of, you know, curing everything. So that's my fear with this online.
Yeah, that's a real problem, I think. And my experience is that even 9 years and a couple of thousands of people down the line, I still believe that every person is still a completely different, you know, human to deal with. Whether it's in terms of their body, whether it's in terms of their issues, whether it's in terms of how they behave with you. So yeah, I feel that no matter how much time I'll spend here doing this, I will be on the bottom of the learning curve.
It's very humble.
No, it's not. It is. The human beings are dynamic creatures. You can never learn them.
Yes. So with this spirit, we are going to finish our conversation. And I'm very grateful for this stellar conversation. And we have... I was having some questions regarding health and fitness, and we reached to a totally different dimension.
I know, completely off topic.
No, it's not off topic. I think we covered more ground, and we related the isolated subjects. We just take health and fitness as an isolated entity, but we tried to amalgamate it with social and real problems. Thanks a lot, ma'am, for this.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That was Abhishek in conversation with Nidhi. And this brings us to the end of this episode. You can connect to Nidhi on the various social networking platforms. Quick links will be at the bottom of this page. Subscribe to our channel if you are listening to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Yes, we are streaming on all the major audio platforms. Do visit our website, which is www.roadtorevamp.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, drop a comment or review or even feedback for that matter if you like the content. We highly appreciate it. Stay tuned for more such conversations, as we'll be back again with another episode. My name is Sagar, and you are listening to Road to Revamp.